Well, the presence of the Lord is certainly here, isn't it? And the Lord's here today. Grace, you confirmed what the Lord was speaking to me. He is here today for some breaking and for some delivering. The key word is freedom. He wants to set us free, to make us free, to bring us into a free place. For some folks, he needs to break some things off. For other folks, he needs to set them free. We'll get to that in a little bit when we start praying and ministering. I think the Lord's going to do some really cool things. I'm looking forward to see what God will do. We can't make him do anything. We can't work this stuff up. You know, we just have to let God flow and do what he wants to do. And that's really kind of the topic of this morning's lesson. It's about ministry gifts. And I'm hoping to encourage you this morning, maybe challenge you a little bit to move in ministry gifts you've not moved in before, or let God anoint you in new ways for ministry. Turn to Mark 16. If you have something to write with, let me encourage you to write down these scriptures and go back to them, write down some of the thoughts, but especially the scriptures. Some we're just going to mention and go on because we're not going to have time to cover everything that I would like to this morning. In Mark 16, we have scripture here that we've all read many times. And what it's talking about is Jesus is telling his disciples, this is what I expect believers to do. Those who believe in me, I expect them to be free in what they're doing. I expect them to be so anointed and filled with the power of God that they'll do these kind of things. And one of the things it says is that they will, starting in verse 17, it says, these signs will accompany them. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. It says on down in verse 18 that they are going to lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. This is what God expects all of us to do, not just ministers, believers. And then if you continue on in Mark 16, you'll see that it says, so then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken these, he was received up into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God. And then it says, and they, the disciples, went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. So even though Jesus had ascended to heaven, what did he do? Remember, he said, I've got to leave. I have got to leave you guys because if I don't leave you, I can't send the Holy Spirit. And it's vital that you be filled with the Holy Spirit of God so that you can do the things that I have called you to do. The book of Acts is full of all kinds of signs and wonders. This is how the signs and wonders happen. The signs that followed the disciples. They were happening by Jesus working through the Holy Spirit to do miracles. When it says that God worked with them, of course, God was working through spiritual gifts in their life, was working through them. Jesus told his disciples there in Acts chapter 1, I believe it's verses 6 through 8, he's talking to his disciples. He's telling them, I'm about to leave and you got this ministry you need to fulfill. But don't even think about starting your ministry until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 2, we see where they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And sure enough, miracles begin to happen right away. Now, we talk about the anointing of God and how important it is to have the anointing and the power of God for ministry. And most of us think about it in those terms. I contend you need the anointing and the power of God in everything you do. You need the anointing and the power of God in your job, whatever your job is. God needs to anoint you to do that. In your hobby, you need that anointing. In raising your children, you need that anointing. Certainly in ministry, but in every area of our life, we need the anointing. How much more do we need the anointing and power of God when it comes to ministry gifts? So we're going to talk this morning some about ministry gifts. I want to talk specifically about spiritual gifts especially. But I want you to understand that when I'm talking about ministry gifts, I'm assuming that the only way they're going to work and work right is if we're anointed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus quoted out of Isaiah, and remember where he was reading the scroll out of Isaiah? He says, God has anointed me to set the captives free and to do all these things. Look, if Jesus had to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if Jesus had to be anointed by the Holy Spirit to do what he did, how much more do we need to be empowered by that Spirit of God? So just take that as this is the context when I'm talking about ministry gifts. And the best place to get to that place of power in the Holy Spirit is just like what we were doing right now. We were just spending time in the presence of God. You spend time in His presence, and man, He starts doing things. His Spirit is here today to do some cool things. I'm looking forward to what He's going to do. Now, turn to Romans 12. So we're talking about ministry gifts, and I want you to understand there are three categories of gifts, I think, anyway. Romans 12, starting in verse 3, we read, "For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we're members one of another." He's setting out a concept here about how we are all working together to help each other. This is where ministry gifts come from, is the idea that we need to be building each other up. "And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us each exercise them accordingly." And then he starts mentioning some gifts. Some of these are spiritual gifts. Some are natural gifts. Some are learned gifts. We'll get into that in a minute. "If prophecy is your gift, then do that according to the proportion of his faith. If service or ministry," or this is where we get the word deacon from, "is, then he should do serving. If he's a teacher, he should teach. If he exhorts, he should do exhortation." That's primarily what a preacher does. "And those who give liberally," in other words, there's actually a gift of giving. I've known people who had a gift of making money, and then they turned around and gave that money to the kingdom of God. "A gift of leading, gift of diligence, gift of mercy, gifts of cheerfulness." He's talking about all different kinds of gifts here, special jobs in the kingdom of God. And I contend there are three categories of giftings or talents. There's the natural talents that we have, or gifts. There are the learned talents and gifts that we have. And then finally, there are spiritual gifts which we don't have. And I'll explain that here in a minute. Let me give you some examples. For instance, natural talents. I have a brother that has perfect pitch. You can say, "I'm tuning my guitar, I need an E." And he'll go, and that's a perfect E. Go to the piano, and it's exactly what he said. That's a natural gift that he has. Now, my other brother, on the other hand, can't carry a tune in a sack, as we used to say. That boy can hardly play the radio, much less do music. So we all have different talents, right? My wife is an artist, as some of you know, and part of her art talent, natural art talent, is that she's a colorist. If we wanted to get some paint that was the color of your red dress, she could look at your red dress, we could go down here to Lowe's, and she would pick the color chip, and she would bring it back, and it would be exactly that color red. She has that natural ability. Now, all of us have different natural abilities, and some of them, of course, are enhanced by the anointing of God. Like my brother with perfect pitch, he is a great musician, and he's a worship leader. He uses that as a worship leader. So God has anointed that natural gifting and brought it into a place where it can be used in ministry. Some gifts are learned talents or gifts. And as a matter of fact, my brother with perfect pitch didn't just start doing music. He took piano lessons and he went to ORU and got a music degree. And I mean, you know, he has also done some learning to go along with this, some training to help develop trained talents. Let me give you an example. And I want to give you an example of how sometimes the natural gifts and the trained gifts still work together with the anointing. If you wanted to be a Charlotte Mecklenburg police officer, what would you do? Would you go into the police chief's office and says, "I got my gun, where's my badge and my patrol car? I'm ready to start," right? Would you do that? No, man. You'd go to police academy. Now, first of all, you'd probably have to have some natural inclination to want to do that kind of work anyway. But you're going to need to be trained, right? I know a Charlotte Mecklenburg police officer. I won't mention his name because I don't want him to be embarrassed when this goes out over the radio. went through academy, and he'd been on the street about, I don't know, about 6 months, I guess. And every day he would pray that God would anoint him and guide him to be the best police officer he could be and to do what was right. And he had been trained in all the right things for a police officer to do. But he knew that he still needed the power of God and the leading of God in order to do his job. One night he was out on patrol and he hears word that a car had been stolen. They give a description of the car. There's three guys in the car, they say. And so he starts praying, "Lord, if I run into this, give me wisdom about how to handle this situation." And right about that time, he's passing a convenience store and he sees this car up in the parking lot of that convenience store. And the three guys are sitting in the car. Now, normal police method is you call for backup, you get the SWAT team, you know, you do all kinds of things. But the Holy Spirit said, "Just go talk to these guys." And he walks up to these guys. Their windows are down, summertime. He says, "Can y'all help me? I need some help in the store here. Can y'all come help me?" And all three of these guys get out of the car to go help him in the store. And he says, "Okay, now I know this car is stolen. You guys get on the ground." And they did. No guns pulled, nothing. That was God. And he recognized that. He said, "Man, that was the Holy Spirit of God showing me what to do at that time." So God took his natural inclination to be a police officer, put him through training, which gave him all the tools that he needed. But he still needed the anointing and the power of God to use that in that ministry of being a police officer that God had called him to. There are lots of scriptures that talk about talents or giftings. And, you know, we could probably do an all-day seminar on giftings and such, right? One of the scriptures we just read, Romans 12, 3 through 8. Turn to 1 Peter 4. We'll look at that real quick. 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 10, Peter writes, "As each one has received a special gift, employ it to serving one another." In other words, make use of your gifts. And then he says, "as good stewards." In other words, he says, when God gives you these gifts, whether they're natural gifts, whether they're learned gifts, whether they're gifts of the Spirit, when God gives us gifts, it's our responsibility to use those properly and to make use of them and to use them in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He says, "Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterance of God. Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Thank you. So there are lots of natural talents. God not only uses our natural talents, but he uses our learned talents. But then there's another kind of ministry gift that has absolutely nothing to do with your natural abilities and nothing to do with what you have learned or what you have developed. And that's spiritual gifts. Okay, so there's natural gifts, learned gifts, and spiritual gifts. Let's talk about the spiritual gifts, and I want to spend the rest of the time on that this morning. Hebrews 2, starting in verse 4, says, "God also, bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will." When it's talking about signs and wonders and gifts here, it's talking about spiritual gifts. These are the gifts that come through and by the Holy Spirit. They operate through us, but they are gifts of the Holy Spirit. They come entirely from God. I can't overemphasize that. It absolutely has nothing to do with us and our ability. And the gifts are there to accomplish things. Spiritual gifts are there to accomplish things that no human being would be able to accomplish or do. So it makes them supernatural. When we operate in spiritual gifts, we are simply a vessel. We are just what the gift is operating through. That's it. We're a conduit. The characteristics of spiritual gifts include things like they are short-term. Spiritual gifts are short-term and they're highly focused. They're used for a very specific purpose and then they're not there anymore. They are temporary, but they are always available. You see what I'm saying? anytime we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate through us, they're available. But when they operate, it's just for that one short period of time, and then it's gone. It's done. Okay? That's a spiritual gift. They are supernatural. That means it's impossible to happen in nature. It can only happen through a spiritual gift. So that's how you know we got spiritual gifts. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Paul lists 9 spiritual gifts. I think there are more than 9 spiritual gifts, but he's listing 9 of them here. Sometimes they're called the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I think there are more than this. For instance, we're not going to turn to this, but you can write down Acts 2, verses 6 through 8. Remember the story when the disciples first get baptized in the Holy Spirit? And they're all speaking in tongues, and a bunch of people around them from all different countries are saying, how is it that we hear them speaking in our own language? Well, there's some interpretations of what they're talking about. One is that the disciples themselves were speaking these various languages. Different ones were speaking different languages that the different people could hear and understand. But the other theory is that the gift wasn't the speaking in tongues, the gift was the hearing. That somebody was speaking in tongues and whoever was hearing it in their language. And so, maybe that's a spiritual gift. I don't know. There are gifts like compassion, gifts of mercy. I've operated in those where absolutely if it wasn't God working through me, I would have not had mercy on certain people. I can tell you that. I believe that intercession can be a spiritual gift of the Holy Spirit. It's something that operates through us to intercede in prayer on behalf of someone else, sometimes even supplication. I don't have enough fingers and toes to count the number of times in the last year that I have prayed for someone, I think, in the gift of supplication. I am praying for them, and all of a sudden the Lord tells me exactly how to pray for them. And exactly how to pray for that situation. I believe that's a spiritual gift, see, that we're operating in. There are others. But what I want to do today, and this is in order to challenge you to operate more in spiritual gifts or be more available to operate in spiritual gifts, I want us to go through the 9 gifts that Paul lists, and I want to give you some modern-day stories about those and how they work, okay? So let's start in 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to start in verse 8. These examples that I'm going to give you, every example is from my life. How I have operated in each of these 9 gifts at different times. Now, I'm not doing that to brag. Remember, I can't brag. There's nothing for me to brag about. When you're used in a spiritual gift, you're just the vessel, you know. I didn't have anything to do with it. It was God doing it. But the point is this, some folks will read those gifts and say, well, God will give each person a different gift, and he may not give some people any gift at all. I don't think that's true. I am living proof of the fact that God can operate in a single individual with every one of these gifts. It just depends on the time and the situation and what happens and what is needed. And so this I want to try to illustrate this to challenge you to allow God to use you with these gifts. You don't have to be a preacher, you know. You don't have to have been a commissioned evangelist like we commissioned Grace yesterday or a commissioned prayer warrior. Just a believer. This is what Mark 16 was all about. These signs shall follow those who believe. Hey, they're going to operate in spiritual gifts. I want you to put your faith that you're going to operate in spiritual gifts, okay? Okay. Let's start in verse 7 because Paul says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Notice this is not at all about building up or for the benefit of the person who is being used. This is for ministry gift. This is for someone else. Okay, verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another is the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Another faith. Okay, now, I'm not going to read all of those, but we're going to go through them one at a time. Okay, let's start with the word of wisdom. Wisdom is not about facts or information or when a certain event is going to happen. Wisdom is about how you use information that you already have. And in this case, it's talking about a gift of wisdom. This is wisdom that is given to you that you could not have in the natural. I'll tell you a quick story about that. And I want to try to make this as quick as I can. A pastor called me one day and said he was planning to fly to Guatemala in a small airplane that he was going to pilot. And he was going to take some other people with him. It was a mission trip. And he wanted my advice on the route to take and where to stop for fuel and things like that. And we talked for a while, and then he said, I'm thinking about stopping in this certain place. Well, I'd never been to that certain place, but immediately the Holy Spirit came on me, and I gave him a word of wisdom, and that was, don't stop at that place. I don't know why, I just tell you, don't stop there. Well, I don't know, I'm thinking about stopping there. Don't stop there. I hang up the phone, Debbie comes in with a word of prophecy. She says, look, I don't know who you were talking to and what it was about, but whatever he's thinking about doing, tell him, don't do it. Call him back. I said, look, I already talked to him and told him don't do that. But see, what she had was a word of prophecy for this guy. We'll get to that in a minute. So what we discovered was there was also a friend, a nurse friend of ours, that was going to go down there with him. Everybody she would tell, I'm going to go down with this guy. They'd, oh, no, don't go. Don't go. We don't know why. All we know is the Lord says, don't go. She went anyway. This guy stopped at this place, got fuel where I told him, don't stop and get fuel. It took off, got about 500 feet in the air. The engine died. His airplane crashed. They crashed into the jungle. The airplane caught on fire, and everybody in that airplane died. So that word of wisdom ended up being a warning for him. You know, you got a choice. You can listen to it or not. Word of knowledge. This is kind of the other side of wisdom. This is God giving you facts or information that you couldn't otherwise naturally come by. Some folks have, it's kind of funny, you know, people try to explain away these things as not being spiritual gifts. They don't want to get involved in this messy stuff like getting baptized in the Holy Spirit and sitting in the presence of God and letting Him move. So they try to explain this stuff away. And I've heard people say, well, you know, the gift of knowledge, that's the ability to go to college and to learn things and to be able to. No, that's not a spiritual gift. I can tell you from experience, I definitely had to have the anointing of God and the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God to finish college, okay? But that's not what this is talking about. I'll tell you a couple of stories about that. When Debbie and I first met, we met in church. And I had been serving God for a while, and she'd kind of been serving God off and on, and she'd done some things that normal church girls probably wouldn't do. And after about the third date, the Lord told us, each of us, spoke to each of us supernaturally and said we were supposed to get married. Well, part of that process, to make sure that we understood this was from God, God began to show me things about her and about her life. Matter of fact, he began to show me things, and I'd tell her these things. And she said, how can you know that? I haven't told anybody that. Well, it was the Holy Spirit of God revealing these things to me. He was softening me up so that when she told me she had not always been a nice girl, I would still marry her. You know what I'm saying? See, this was a word of knowledge that you couldn't otherwise have. I went into a business meeting not long ago, sitting around a conference table, and a guy walks in to give a presentation. The guy started doing his presentation. He got to a certain part, and the Holy Spirit said, he's lying. He's not telling the truth right now. And there was no way to know that. And I mentioned that to somebody else later. Well, he was lying at that. Well, how did you know that? Of course. Well, eventually we come to find out he was lying at that point. That was a word of knowledge. You understand that? Let me tell you, a great way to teach your children about spiritual gifts. When you lose something, ask the Lord for a word of knowledge. Gather the kids around and say, kids, let's pray that God will tell us where that is. God knows where it is. We don't, but God knows. Let's pray that He'll show us where it is. And I'm telling you, it works like every time. It's really cool how it works. And yeah, often immediately. And so do that, and it'll help you teach your kid and explain to your kids. This is a spiritual gift. This is word of knowledge. You couldn't have it any other way. God always wants to help us and work with us. Okay. Gift of faith. That's a supernatural gifting to have faith. Faith is that we believe something is going to happen or that we believe something is true. And when it's a spiritual gift, it comes to you not from what you have learned out of the Bible or what you've heard. It just gets dropped into your heart. I developed warts on my feet at one point. They weren't painful. Debbie noticed that and said, the Bible says that warts are part of the curse. And we don't live under the curse anymore. You need to pray for God to heal you of those warts. And I said, yeah, that's a good idea. And I'd kind of pray, oh God, heal me of these warts, and off I'd go. Well, off and on this happened. She would say that to me, and she, well, are the warts still there? Yeah. Warts are part of the curse. Yeah, honey, I know. Okay, Lord, please heal my warts, and off I, yeah. After about a year, one night, I was going to bed. Debbie asked, the warts are still there? Yes, the warts are still there. Yes, I know they're part of the curse. Now I ain't praying that. When I said that, all of a sudden, dropped down into my heart was faith. And all of a sudden, I knew, if I pray for my warts, those warts are going to be healed. I know that I know that I know that I know. That's faith. I prayed for those warts that night. I didn't know if they would be healed instantly or if it'd take a while. I figured it'd probably take a while. I woke up the next morning, and those warts were all gone, and where they had been was smooth, new skin. That was from the gift of faith. I couldn't believe for it on my own, but God dropped it into my heart. Now, that can work sometimes with the gift of healing. This is where the Holy Spirit heals people that we lay hands on or people that we pray for. And again, I've heard people say, well, the gift of healing, that's doctors. That's the doctors that we have. They're the gift of healing. No, it's not. Doctors have learned that stuff. That's not a spiritual gift. They went to school, Maureen's going to go to school and be a doctor, a nurse, whatever she's going to do. It'll be a great gift to the community, but it won't be a spiritual gift. When we go on mission trips, we operate in this gift a lot. God has anointed us to pray for the sick and see the sick recover in a great way. When Debbie and I pray for folks that are sick, we have just come to expect that they're going to get healed because it happens so often. And that's not us doing it. It's a gift of healing in operation. Well, I'm going to stop this message here, and we'll continue it on next week. So tune in next week and hear more about spiritual gifts.